The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And it's a very good morning to you on this Thursday morning. It's Donal Kavanagh on the 9 till noon show this morning, standing in for Greg Hughes all this week. It's a Thursday, which means we have quite a lot of papers to get through. Get to those in just a moment. First of all, of course, to remind you that this is your programme. And if you have any perspectives, if you have any views, if you have any issues you wish to raise, or indeed any comments you wish to make on the stories of the day or the topics we're covering on the programme, you can do so by texting or WhatsApping us on 086 60 25000. You can call us 07491 25000. Caroline and Niamh taking your calls this morning. Caroline also producing the show as well. We're on social media, of course. We're at Highland Radio on X or Twitter. We're Highland Hub on Facebook, and we're on other social media channels as well. You can email us comments at highlandradio.com, or you can, of course, if ever you take the wish to write a letter, and some people still do, you may write to us. It's the 9 till noon show, Highland Radio, Mountain Top, Letterkenny, in the lovely county of Donegal. As we said, quite a lot of papers out this morning, several of them local. So let's begin with the Tyrconnell Tribune this morning. ATU Sports Complex hits roadblock with transport body. Plans to develop traffic access to the ATU's new regional sports complex on the N15 in Letterkenny have hit a major roadblock just weeks after planning permission was sought for the development. In seeking the permission, the ATU application referenced vehicular and pedestrian access to include a new junction from the N56, along with the closure of existing access from the N56 to Knocknamona Crescent. Now, Transport Infrastructure Ireland has taken issue with some of the elements of that application, and they're saying that the ATU's plans are at variance with their plans. So there's going to have to be a lot of discussion, one feels, about that in the future. Donegal Democrat this morning, main story: phenomenal response to fundraiser for man injured in horrific accident. A 27-year-old father from Ballyshannon suffered horrific life-changing injuries when the digger he was operating came into contact with an overhead power line, but thanks to an overwhelming response to a GoFundMe appeal, Dylan Feely and his family will be supported as he attempts to rebuild his life over the next year and beyond. And also Proud Mary, Dubai's Adele crowned Mary from Dunlow. Nice picture of Adele and Daniel there on the front. And also Oma bomb recalled 25 years on. Derry News this morning. Gallia disorder condemned. Police received reports of shots being fired, hijackings and assaults following removal of bonfire material. And that story is the front of the Derry News. Also on the front of the Derry News, Alliance fail in Waterside election recount. Now, you'll recall we spoke yesterday with Pat McCart of the Irish Daily Mirror and formerly editor of the Derry Journal, and we spoke to Pat about this continuation of the count. Alliance had taken the legal challenge to the result in the Waterside ward in the Derry City and Strabane District Council local elections, which took place in May. The challenge was on the basis that Philip McKinney of Alliance lost his seat by in the region of 48-49 votes, but there were transpired 150 votes which hadn't been counted. They were a surplus after a DUP councillor was elected, and then the court ordered that those votes be counted. That count did take place yesterday in the presence of the parties. Now, there was no declaration formally made yesterday in the Foyle Arena. The results of that continued count were passed on to the court, and the court will make its determination as to what happens next week. But Colm Eastwood, the SDLP leader, has issued a statement saying that yes, Martin Riley will hold on to his seat. Now, it was a fairly tight margin, less than 10 votes it seems in it, but Martin Riley will hold on to that seat that he retained in the count. Let's move on to the Donegal News this morning. Students defer college to take up work, SVP. Louise Doyle writes that financial strain on households is leading to a huge demand in Contact to St Vincent de Paul for third level education bursary supports. The charity is warning that many students in the county are opting to defer their studies for a year to take up a job in a bid to alleviate financial pressures on their families. And of course, the fear would be that many people may go, you know, to work and say they're doing it for a year or for 2 years or for three, and maybe sometimes it's going to be difficult then once that income stream is coming into a household. That income stream very much becomes an integral part of that household income, and the worry would be that they may not go to college at all or not go for some time. a serious issue indeed. A lovely photograph of Letterkenny couple Moira and Tony Toy sharing a laugh at Moira's 90th birthday celebrations at the Silver Tassie in Letterkenny. It's an absolutely wonderful photograph, one of those life-affirming photographs that just gives you a good feeling in your tummy. It is absolutely lovely. Also there, of course, again, remembering Oma and Adele Crowd, crowned 2023 Mary. Irish Independent this morning. NCT calls in Gardaí over broker site offering test dates. Now, we've seen this before, particularly if you're ever applying for Estes in the US. There are these what they call brokerage sites where a company will organise your ESTA for you. They will design their website to look as closely as it can legally to the ESTA website, and they will not tell you their ESTA, but they will very much infer. They won't tell you they're not, if that makes sense. And you will end up paying the standard charge, which you're charged for an ESTA, but you'll also pay 50 or 60 euro over that as a fee. And this is now happening with the NCT, a company which is based in the UK, is offering slots for car tests. The site claims to be an intermediary and charges 76 euro for an NCT appointment. Now, we've heard that people who have booked an NCT test through this particular site pay their 76 euro, think they have paid for their NCT, and they have then gone to the NCT for the test to be asked for 55 euro. Because, in fairness, NCT never have taken the money up front. They've also always taken the money on the day that they say when you arrive at your NCT, you bring your insurance, you bring the car tax documents, and you bring the 55 euro for the test. And NCT are reporting this to Gardaí. Now, again, it's a difficult one because this company does not claim to be the NCT, but it will very much give you the impression that it is, if that makes sense. So caveat emptor, as they say, buyer beware, be very, very careful. And if you're on a site that is asking for money up front for the NCT, then be careful with that. Irish Times this morning, TDs call for mortgage relief as rates rise above 4%. Independent TDs demand action ahead of budget to help struggling homeowners. Rents rose by 10.7% in the past year, but they've stabilised in Dublin, new data shows. Now, the problem is, when you talk about rents now stabilising, once you've gone through a period of 2, 3, 4 years of ever-increasing rents, and then we talk about, oh, it's okay, the rental market is stabilising, what the market is stabilising on are the exorbitantly high prices that have been reached after 3 years of rises. So it's stabilising, which means it's not rising anymore, but that doesn't allay the fact that it's stabilising at a ludicrously high price. I mean, I was looking at with my son and daughter at rent prices in Donegal recently, and in the region of probably 13, 14 years ago, we had a major extension built at our house, and we rented a house across the road for 6 months while the extension was being done. Because the work, you just couldn't live in the house at the time. There was new bedrooms being done. There was a little wing being put on. And there was a lot of work. And basically speaking, it would not have been practical to live in the house. So we rented a house across the road in the same estate, literally across the road. We live in 42 and we rented 46. We could actually look out the front window and see our house being done. And the rent we paid for that, by memory, the rent, and it was a bit of a burden, but we took it on. I think we paid something in the region of 550, 600 euro a month rent. Now rent in the same estate is going to be hitting 1500 a month. It's going to be well over double what we were paying to rent that that house when we were getting the extension done. And that's just an indication of where we are in the market at the moment. Parents pay 28 million euro in voluntary contributions. Parents are paying in the region of 30 million euro a year in voluntary contributions to help schools plug gaps in finances, according to new figures. Now, that's an issue that's been with us for a while. There's been a lot of discussion about it recently. And indeed, we'd be interested in hearing your views on this, because if we're paying in the region of 28 to 30 million euro a year in voluntary contributions to schools, to what extent does that become expected? And to what extent is our children's education dependent? Now, in fairness, I was paying that when my children were in primary school. I was paying a voluntary contribution. Now, the voluntary contribution I was paying, I suspect, was a lot less than is being sought by parents now. So Do you pay a voluntary contribution at the moment? And do you believe parents should be paying it? Is it a matter of the state is providing the basic education? Because I was involved in a school parents committee and a board of management. Now, our basic thing always was that money that we got from parents went toward the library, it went toward gym equipment, it went toward buying things that added to the children's experience in the school. The worry now is that the voluntary contribution is actually going toward the maintenance of the building. It's going toward the essentials. Because certainly when my children were in primary school, now we're going back to the late 90s, early 2000s. But at that point, any money that was brought in a voluntary contribution very much was for extras. It was for library books. It was for computers. It was for new. Okay, I know now computers are as integral a part of the school as blackboards. At the time, it wasn't as integral as it is now. But we were buying computers and library books and gym equipment. So it was extra. I suspect now an awful lot of the voluntary contribution is actually becoming essential everyday expenditure. Irish Daily Mail this morning. Taoiseach, we face a new wave of COVID. More transmissible variant leads to spike in cases just weeks before our schools reopen. Ireland is facing a new wave of COVID. The HSE says this new transmissible wave variant Eris has been detected here. It's caused a spike in COVID right around the world. Now, the Taoiseach has stressed he doesn't anticipate the reintroduction of any restrictions. We are in a very different place, he said, to the place we were when COVID started. Irish Daily Star this morning, El Chapo the morning to you. This is the Irishman named in a South American court as a key player in El Chapo's Sinaloa cartel. Maurice O'Shea Salazar, who was raised in Cloghlan in County Kerry, is wanted in Chile, where he is accused of trying to expand the mob's drug empire. That's the front of the Irish Daily Star this morning, front of the Irish Daily Mirror. Panic station. RTE bosses were reeling last night after it emerged nearly 4 in 10 people were not paying their TV licence fee. The government could be asked to provide a bailout to the embattled station as the Ryan Tubridy wage fallout continues. A report's also been commissioned into Toy Show the Musical, which cost €2.2 million. A source said RTE is heading toward a deficit of €40 million. A €40 million deficit for RTE, that is a huge figure. Also, Sinead's final resting place and how we go again. A countdown to the Premier League. One day until it all kicks off. And that's the front of your Irish Daily Mirror. Finally, the Irish Sun. Not finally the Irish Sun, because it's a Thursday. And as it's a Thursday, we have an added bonus. We have a little extra track at the end. We'll get to that in just a moment. Irish Sun, Duffy's Late Wait Show. Louise Duffy is being eyed as a future host of The Late Late Show. RTE bosses want the former Today FM presenter to be the first female Late Late Show host when Patrick Keelty's run ends after 3 years. Now, lads, we're talking about Keelty's replacement before he even starts. I know they have to sell papers, but is that not just a little bit previous? Sinead's piece also, picture of Sinead O'Connor and a picture of her grave in a Dublin cemetery. And PSNI in second breach of data. The PSNI has admitted a second data breach after the names of 200 officers were in a file stolen from a car. The revelation came a day after the identities of all 10,000 PSNI employees, including undercover cops, went online. And that's the Irish Sun. I promised you a bonus. It's a Thursday, which means we have the Irish Farmers Journal. And the main story, you've heard this on the news with Donna Marie already this morning, 3 in 4 would vote for Farmers' Party. 3 in 4 farmers would vote for a farmers' party if one were formed. The latest Irish Farmers Journal survey has revealed some 72% of farmers said their first preferences would go to a farmers' party in the next election,
okay,
if that were an option. And we also heard satisfaction with Minister Charlie McConlogue has dropped. 46% categorised his performance as poor or very poor. And in terms of the farmers' party support, Fianna Fáil has dropped 3 points to 23%. Sinn Féin is static at 12%. Now, it makes an interesting question, because we know that Michael Fitzmaurice and others in the Dáil have been talking about this rural party, Rural Alliance, Farmers Alliance. They go under the name Rural Alliance in the Dáil as a group of independents. And, you know, we've heard this talk from Michael Fitzmaurice down in Roscommon, Longford, over the past few months. One wonders if he will be inspired or in any way prompted by this particular poll in the Irish Farmers Journal. That remains to be seen. It's a very, very interesting question indeed. Now, many parents and students indeed are now facing questions about where they're going to live. Some will be leaving Donegal to Dublin or to Cork or to Belfast or wherever. Others will be coming to Donegal to study in the Donegal campus of the ATU. Now, the president of the Students' Union at the ATU in Donegal is Barry Breslin, and Barry joins us in studio this morning. Barry, you are very welcome indeed.
Cheers. Thanks, Alan O'Donnell.
Barry, in terms of accommodation, what's the situation now at ATU, particularly in Letterkenny? One would presume there are difficulties.
Unfortunately, it's not great. As you know, the situation isn't fantastic, and we're down 150 compared to last year. Now, the only kind of solace that we have in our mind about this here is that a lot of places have already been booked up is from people last year have been kept over, so no places have been taken over from students already. But now we've gone to new efforts now, such as, like, you may have seen poster campaigns starting around shops. That's something we haven't really done before. Yeah. We've tried out new things like the mass letters and that was just to check out properties that would have maybe a spare room and that going around. As the rent room scheme, that's a 14 grand tax free, that is still up and running, and we're still pushing to try and get people in. As we've now seen a new trend with the accommodation, Diggs was our most popular of everything was available last year. That's now again a trend this year. So yeah, we're simply just looking for any rooms at all around Letterkenny.
And basically, you believe there are many people out there who would have a spare room in the house, would be willing to take a student in, and perhaps aren't aware of that scheme. So tell us in detail, as much detail as possible, exactly what that scheme entails, because it could prove to be to everyone's benefit.
So how it works is essentially 14,000 you can get, say, for charge for the student in your household. So you can control how you want to charge that there rent. From our own standpoint, we can enforce rent upon people. Now, obviously, we advocate it most affordable as possible. We're aware of the cost of energy and things like that there. But with having students in your house, we are aware with timetables in ATU Donegal, let's say it's mostly 4 days a week. So even with that there, we will have students on campus for predominantly a long time as the day. And with that there, they probably do not want to be spending a long time in the house. They probably do want to be out with their friends, having experience in that college, because that is a lot of deterrent for a lot of people. They're like, I don't want to invite a stranger into my house. And they can put a preference on when we're putting out an advertisement. Like, some people may have like a young daughter in the room, in the house, and they're like, I don't want to, like, a stranger coming. It's like, that's grand. We just simply want a spot for someone. So please, if you have any preference at all, put us out there and we will try to get a student in the house.
But presumably, if someone has concerns because of a daughter, you can look to put a female student in.
Yeah, exactly.
The house.
That's exactly it. Yeah, yeah. We want to work as much as we can with the people to get people a house.
In terms of, I'm sure it's an individual conversation with every homeowner. I know students will have a reputation as being party lovers. People are away from home for the first time. They want to go to the pub with their mates, absolutely, and that's perfectly reasonable. Some people will have this idea, I don't want to have someone who's going to be coming into the house singing and roaring at 3 o'clock in the morning. In terms of, you know, the discussions around the rules and regulations, what conditions can be imposed, what regulations can be imposed at the house? Obviously, you're going to want to walk a fine balance between, on the one hand, respecting the right of people to come and go as they please, but on the other hand, respecting the right of the homeowner to get a good night's sleep.
Yeah, that's a great question, Donald. See, what we encourage landlords about that there is write yourself up a contract. Just simple house rules of how you want things to proceed. So that way, you know where you stand and they know where they stand. Because at the end of the day, they just want somewhere to stay. Yes, they will be heading out and likes that there, but obviously they want to respect your home. Now, we do have students say, like, they had such and such rules upon here, but at the same time, beggars can't be choosers. Mm-hmm. But no, we just encourage all of the Diggs owners not to simply make a contract for yourself. Simple house of rules so people know where to stand.
What has the experience of those who did it last year been? I mean, I'm sure you're getting feedback from the homeowners who entered the scheme last year. What are you hearing from them? Was it positive? Was it negative? Was it a mixed bag?
It's a mixed bag. Some people, like, they were great and they're like, oh, can you get me back such and such person? Unfortunately, now, we don't hold on to anyone's details saying, like, they stayed here. Yeah. It's kind of up to the landlord themselves. If they want to reach an agreement, like, I'll have you back in September, sound grand, whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's people, really. You'll have some are good, some aren't great. But that's fairly what you're dealing with. But mostly enough, we have good enough students. And if there is any issues, we do encourage people to come forward ourselves. We do kind of liaise with people if there is any problem. So that's kind of what we help out.
Now, you are, in a sense, the honest broker. So you aren't involved in the contract. You're not taking any responsibility. You're putting two people together effectively and saying, you two work out a deal.
Yes, exactly. We kind of just advertise the property. Mm. If you're looking for students, we have a website where we have a list of everyone available. Simply work through there, see what works best in your situation, and we kind of help out from there.
And the householder can, as we said earlier, they can earn a certain amount tax-free.
14 grand, yes.
14 grand a year. Now, that's a not inconsiderable sum.
No.
And that presumably is separate from any other earnings that are coming into the house, whatever else is being taken into effect for their income tax or whatever taxes. That 14 grand is sort of in a separate bubble put to one side. And if the payments are under 14 grand, then there's no more paperwork involved. Mm-hmm. In terms of the other issue is, obviously, accommodation will have to meet certain standards. Will they have to register with Residential Tenancies Board? People may be concerned, do I have to go to the RTB? Do I have to get inspectors? Do I have to have a certain amount of... Okay, we expect everyone to have fire extinguishers. We expect everyone to have safe banisters, etc. You expect a level of safety. But will people be subject to inspections, safety tests, RTB standards in terms of what is and isn't in the room or the house?
No, I think it's just a sign of the times how desperate things are. Mm. They aren't having to register with the RTB and things like that. But and just a general level of safety, that would kind of not really have to be asked for. It's simply for your own.
It would be.
Because a lot of it is just simply digs. So they're living in the house as well. They don't want to live somewhere unsafe. So that would kind of how we'd...
And are we getting to the point where the student is taking meals with the homeowner and their family? Or are we in a situation where people are in their own room and they're living off pot noodles and takeaways? Because, you know, there's levels of... Now, there is an argument that says if you're living in a house with a family and taking meals with them, you may well end up eating a lot more healthier than you would have done if you were in a flat on your own or in a flat with your mates.
Yeah, see, that's the exact thing. Some people argue then, it's like, well, if I take in this person, I'm just going to basically end up mothering them. Like, you don't have to provide meals. Some people are of the impression that is an agreement. It's not.
Yeah.
As long as they have access to cooking facilities, that's grand, and you give them time. No, there's no other hassle. But we do have other people. One other objection is like, I think I'll just start mothering them, and everything. Mm-hmm. Well, that's up to yourself.
There may be people out there, and that's exactly what they want.
Exactly.
May be people there, and they would like nothing more than to have a teen in the house that they could feed.
Yes, yeah. But, that's a similar... It's just, it's people, really. That's how you want to run it.
Barry, if someone is listening and they do have a room in the house and they do have... They are interested in this, how do they get in touch with you?
We are available on numerous social media, such as ATUSU Donegal. There's a website. From there, you can find our phones, you can find our email. So you guys shoot us a message, give us a call whenever on WhatsApp. We also have social media, such as our Instagram, which is ATUSU_Donegal. That's where we post a lot of our activity. So we'll be releasing our accommodation list this Monday. Yeah. If you just keep an eye on there, we'll have like a launch and everything for that there. And also, if you are looking to contact yourselves, feel free to call down to the office. We will not be here Monday to Wednesday this week, but after there, we should be about just office hours. And also let you know, there is an open day on Friday, the 1st September, from 11 to 4. Please do call around. If you do have any questions, queries, we'll be more than happy to help.
Yeah. Now, there's one or a few comments coming in, and I'm going to put this one to you because, again, it gets back to something we did raise. There was a student in my apartment block last year, and she did nothing but have very loud parties during the week. Most of the tenants have to get up for work. I wouldn't entertain a student again. They have no respect. What can be done about this behaviour? Now, that's really, I suppose, from what you're saying, that's an issue between the tenant and the renter, or the landlord, landlady stroke. We'll just use those terms as general terms, but it's between the tenant and the apartment owner or the house owner.
Yeah, essentially, what would come into play there is that if you write yourself a contract, tell them these are the house rules of how you should conduct yourself in this property, that right there then, it's in black and white, this is what you should do. If they have disobeyed that, then you should have a course of action, say like, hey, you have a warning now, this is your one warning, and eventually say, if things do escalate or keep on going, you may have to remove them from the property. Now, obviously, we do not wish that to happen. Mm-hmm. But essentially, that's saying, protect yourself, put yourself a contract, put yourself some rules so people know where they stand.
And can those contracts be legally binding, or should people be looking at it? And you don't want to start, once you start dragging solicitors in and things like that, it starts to become complicated and cumbersome. And you want to make this presumably as streamlined as possible.
Streamlined as possible. It doesn't have to be a solicitor, but like, we're not looking at anyone to go for the moon and back for something really extortionate. Just simple house rules.
And is there a recommended rent that students should be paying for a room, or is it going to depend on what the initial conditions of the room are? Would you be paying less if there's no cooking facilities? Would you be paying more if you're given an oven as against just a microwave? Or, you know, are there guidelines as to what the payment should be? Or is it a matter of go by market forces?
Listen, we're always going to be advocating for as affordable as possible. And we do ask people to take in question, like some people only want them Monday to Friday. So it's like, okay, that'll be less than someone to stay and have a full week. So that's what we ask. Now, unfortunately, like we can't, as I said, we can't enforce the price upon anyone. Now, we'd ask, I'd like to say 80 to 100 per week per student. Donegal would have always been a bit more affordable for student accommodation, and that's something we'd always like to press forward for students. So now that's simply what we'd like people to come into question. What is available, please just take that into account. As some people, they can separate the bill. Say, I'll like pay for your Wi-Fi per month, but say your bin use, that's up to yourself. Some people don't have Wi-Fi in their house. It's like, okay, I'm going to let you take that in externally. You take care of that there for yourself.
Yeah. So again, it's a matter of you are, as we said earlier, the phrase I'll use is you are the honest broker.
Free reign, do as you please to make it work best for yourself and the tenant.
Barry, we wish you all the best with it. And it's always great to see the students come back. And it's always great to see the ATU thrive and to see new students coming in. And the fact that there's demand for it. And obviously with the ATU designation, there's going to be more degree courses. Presumably there's going to be more people actually coming. And, you know, we're going to see an increase in services, and that's going to be an increase in demand. In the longer term, and there's been a number of buildings sort of for students built around. Do you anticipate more to be done in terms of actually building student accommodation around Letterkenny? And should ATU itself be getting more involved in building such accommodation, halls of residence?
Oh, God, yeah, we need it, absolutely. Yeah. No question, without a doubt. Now, I know from the IT structure, the college couldn't like go forward for money to actually build its own sort of student accommodation. ATU, that never has changed. But unfortunately, like speaking about it, it's so far down the line anyway. Like it's...
So we could at some point in the future
see
halls of residence,
yes,
but it isn't what happened this year.
It's down the line.
The other presumption, of course, will be that hopefully we will see at some point a resolution to the situation in Ukraine, and that will take the pressure off in terms of refugees, and we may see a lowering in the number of people coming seeking international protection, particularly from Ukraine, and maybe over again. But that sadly is not going to happen this month or next month. Again, we're talking minimum probably next year, if not beyond.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Barry, thanks very much indeed. That's Barry Breslin, who is president of the student union at ATU in Letterkenny, the Letterkenny campus of the Donegal ATU there. And that is Barry. It's just gone 9:30. I'm going to take a short break. Back after these with a discussion about the Rose of Tralee. This is the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. You're very welcome back. 086 60 25,000 for your text or WhatsApps. 074 91 25,000 for your calls. And we're at Highland Radio on Twitter or X, and we're Highland Hub on Facebook. Comments at highlandradio.com if you prefer email. Now, before we go to our next guest, I want to very briefly remind you of our Heritage Week on air competition. Heritage Week gets underway on Saturday and lasts until Saturday of next week. You can create your own personalised schedule of events by going to heritageweek.ie, click on My Heritage Trail, and celebrate our traditions and skills and the practices that have passed down through the generations. More, of course, on heritageweek.ie. Now, we have two vouchers worth €90 each to give away. They will allow you free access to some of Ireland's finest heritage sites. And if you use those vouchers expeditiously and well, you could get way more than €90 worth of value from them. And what better thing could we be doing over a weekend than visiting heritage sites across the country, and many, many great ones in this wonderful northwest region as well. Now, I'm going to give you three clues pertaining to a building in Donegal, and I just need you to tell us where I am. Now, this isn't necessarily a heritage building. Now, a lot of Heritage Week events will be running in this particular building, but this is a more modern building, because this building was built and completed in 2007. It's located in Letterkenny, and it's initially known as the RCC. This building, completed in July 2007, located in Letterkenny. Initially, it's called the RCC. What is that building? Text us with your name and answer to 086 60 25,000. Now, we are approaching the Rose of Tralee, and it's a big television event every year. And it's a event that excites conversation every year and discussions about where it sits in the sort of pantheon, as it were, of Irishness. And is it outdated? Does it still have a place? And should we be effectively lining up women and judging them. I'm joined on Zoom by Bernie Lenan, who is a representative of the Labour Party in Leitrim. Bernie, good morning.
Good morning, Donald.
Bernie, you have very grave exceptions about the Rosa Tralee, and you think it's time for a root and branch rethink of exactly what we're doing here.
I do. I think the Rose of Tralee, a bit like some of us here, maybe past our sell-by date. I think it's outdated. It's anachronistic. And as I said in a letter that I wrote recently to the Irish Independent, I believe that the good people of Kerry are more than capable of coming up with a better way of promoting their county and making money.
Now, I have to bring in Mary from Dunloe here, because we last weekend had the Mary from Dunloe competition in Donegal. Indeed, by coincidence, yesterday on the programme I interviewed the current Mary. And now I have to say right up front, she was a highly intelligent and capable woman who does not need the validation of any man or any judge or any panel to assert that. And she was a hugely confident person who just told me she had the best week of her life. Now, It begs the question, and maybe this is an unfair question, but when the participants themselves are saying, look, we're really, really enjoying this, is it not ultimately up to them to make that decision?
It absolutely is up to them to make that decision. And I have never argued that anybody should not be allowed to enter any such competition. I just wonder whether a society which has convinced women that it's okay for them to present themselves to be lined up and judged could not, in the 21st century, come up with a better way of validating the wonderful achievements of women, the wonderful intelligence of women. We all know that women are capable of absolutely anything they put their minds to. Why do we have to line them up in nice gunas and make them look all shiny so that other people can judge them?
What sort of response have you been getting to the letter? And as I said, in fairness, this conversation happens almost every year.
Yes, it does.
And every year, the same arguments get put forward on both sides of the debate. Now, one of the responses we're getting is that this year, for the first time, we're going to have a female co-presenter on RTE along with Dahi. Now, I don't know if that makes any difference. Does it make any difference to you? I suspect not.
I think the Rose of Tralee, which is older than I am as a competition, the Rose of Tralee has changed and evolved over the years. And it has evolved now after more than 60 years to very kindly and somewhat patronisingly allow a woman to be involved in the presenting of the contest. I would like to see it evolve to a position where it isn't a contest of loveliness, that it actually is a pure celebration of the achievements of women without having to line them up in their nice frocks.
There is an argument that can be made, and I don't want to go into who the previous presenters were and how it was presented. Now, I will also be honest and upfront and say I do not watch the Rose of Tralee. I take little or no interest in the Rose of Tralee. And to be honest, if there is anyone in my house watching the Rose of Tralee, it's my wife and daughter. And I suspect that may be very well the same with many. In my experience, certainly, women are more likely to watch it than men are. But I think, and we know we've all seen Father Ted and the Lovely Girls, which was a wonderful parody, an absolutely wonderful parody. And I think certainly from my memory of Rose of Tralee, say, 30 years ago, and I can well remember Rose of Tralee 30 years ago, to now, it seems to me it has evolved somewhat in terms of the type of questions that are being asked, the way the questions that are being asked, and how it does seem now to focus a lot more on the participants' achievements and their qualifications and what they're doing in life rather than whether they can cook and whether they'd make a good wife.
Yes, the competition has evolved in many ways. The questions have changed, as you say, but also a lot of the questions still involve the escorts and the boyfriends and perceived or manufactured disagreements between the two. Because, for instance, in this 21st century in which we have seen a gay Rose of Tralee, we can't actually have a female escort. They must all be escorted by nicely turned out young men. This is the way our society is ordered. And it's not at all a surprise that a great many women sit at home in judgment on these other women's daughters who appear on the screen. That's the way our society has been ordered, so that women are content to present themselves for judgment. Now, in this day and age, we should be thinking about the message that sends to our children when we sit at home judging other people's children, largely on their appearances. Yes, they're all wonderfully qualified. Yes, they're all capable. But largely, this is a contest about appearance and how you present yourself.
So from your point of view, this is anachronistic and has no place in the 21st century?
It's totally anachronistic. Whether it has a place in the 21st century is not my decision. People are perfectly entitled to enjoy themselves in whichever way they want. I prefer not to sit in judgment on other people's kids for my kicks.
Bertie Annan, a Labour Party representative in Leitrim. Thank you very much indeed for speaking to us this morning. Certainly food for thought and a debate which will continue this year and I suspect continue into next year and beyond. In the meantime, Bernie, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Donald.
That's Bernie Annan there, a Labour Party representative, and that's her perspective on the Rose of Tralee. What are your views? You can get in touch and let us know. A very interesting conversation there. Now, and as I said, we did speak to Adele, the winner of Mary from Dunloe, and that was a very interesting conversation yesterday. They're two very different perspectives. Now, let's see if we can help brighten someone's day, because the opportunity exists for you or someone you love to win €20,000 in cash. Tickets are on sale for Highland Radio's Mega Summer Draw. There will be five chances to win big every Friday from the 11th of August to the 1st of September. We'll be giving away €2,500. Now, that's not all, because on the final Friday, on the 9 till noon show, a ticket will be drawn where one lucky person will win €10,000. To buy a ticket, go to www.highlandradio.com, click on the draw link and answer a simple question, and then tune in every Friday to find out if you are a winner. So you can win €2,500 every Friday from the 11th of August, which is tomorrow. So the first prize being given out tomorrow. So from tomorrow until September 1st, a €2,500 prize every Friday. And then on the final Friday, which will be September 1st, there will be a €10,000 prize. The 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. Good morning. Just a few of your comments. Caller says, the idea of a farmers' party is a good one because the present government and Europe are destroying anything to do with agriculture. When are the real people going to stand up and take control? Caller says, just watching prime time tonight, Miriam O'Callaghan is asking the questions about RTE, yet she is one of the top five earners in RTE. She's getting over $250,000 a year. Is she well past her sell time? Is it time to get a younger person in there for half the money? It would still be a good wage. RTE needs new people and a complete overhaul to get rid of the cobwebs. Now, I suppose RTE might well counter to that, that there is a level of trust in Miriam O'Callaghan, and she does have the trust of the people, and people want to hear what she has to say and hear her ask the questions because people trust Miriam O'Callaghan. And in fairness, Miriam O'Callaghan was quite open about her wage when this whole thing broke about Ryan Tuberty, and she, if I recall, she was one of the first people actually to go on air and actually state what her wage was. Joe Duffy then did it as well. So it's an interesting question. OK, now we are going to go to Stephen in White Oaks. We had hoped to join Stephen via Zoom, but there's an issue with the connection. So we'll go to the phone instead. Stephen, good morning to you.
Good morning, Donal.
Stephen, I know that White Oaks is looking to get some new night supervisors, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. But I just want to ask you about this, what's been described as an epidemic of cocaine abuse among young people in Ireland at the moment. Now, €6.4 million worth of the drug was found off Donegal recently, and that caused a lot of people to wake up and take notice. And we know there is a convention, if that's the word, in law enforcement circles, that for everything that's seized, there is nine times that amount in circulation in the community. If that's the case, yes, it would appear cocaine is a huge problem.
It is. We certainly at White Oaks would have noticed over recent years, I'd imagine going back at least 6-7 years, a steady increase in the number of people presenting here for treatment in which cocaine is the either you know, the primary or secondary addiction that they have. Alcohol remains, you know, the biggest issue in terms of addiction, but cocaine has steadily increased, particularly for those under the age of 40. Right across the social spectrum, there's been a noticeable increase in the number of people presenting with difficulties who've developed an addiction to cocaine. And it seems certainly that the availability and the use of cocaine has increased a great deal. And anecdotal evidence and speaking to people, particularly to young people, would certainly suggest that they're finding it easier and easier to get cocaine, to use cocaine, and a lot of them are getting into difficulty very quickly, perhaps beginning to use cocaine as they might see it in a recreational basis, yeah. But then very quickly they develop a dependency. And the difference, I suppose, with cocaine is that because of the type of drug that it is, it seemed the addictive factor seems to be quite accelerated. In other words, it may take people a longer time to become addicted to other kinds of drugs or substances, but with cocaine, it seems to happen much quicker. And that's a cause of great concern, certainly.
What you're saying anecdotally does tally with my experience. I would have done most of my going out as such between, say, 1984 and 1993. That's when I would have done most of my going out, when I was in my, from, say, 20 to 30. And I can, hand on heart, honestly say, I don't believe I ever saw cocaine in a bar or a club or whatever. I saw, you know, other things, but I don't think I ever saw cocaine. I was speaking to my children recently. Now, I say children, they're both late 20s, knocking on the door of 30. And they've told me, yeah, it's everywhere. And talking to them, their description about what they observe and my recollection of me going out when I was their age are poles apart. There's a chasm between my experience and theirs.
And I think that it does reflect the changing and the changed circumstances, as I said, particularly for people under the age of 40, although not exclusively. But in the majority of cases, young people coming in for treatment, cocaine would tend to be, if not the primary addiction that they have, certainly it features among the substances that they're using on a regular basis. So it would seem, you know, that the ability to first of all to obtain it, the price or the cost, and all of that. Doesn't seem to be a deterrent in any way, preventing young people being able to get drugs, particularly cocaine. The difficulty, I suppose, is because of the whole criminal element involved in it, the huge amount of profits made in it. It raises difficulties, not just for the individual who develops an addiction, but then there's the ripple effect as regards family and the local community. So again, when we work here at White Oaks with someone with an addiction, we also work with their family members. And what we hear from, be it parents or siblings, is that with the cocaine addiction also comes, you know, drug debts, intimidation from gangs, people getting into all sorts of criminal behavior. With all of the emotional turmoil that brings into a family's life. Yeah. So I think that we're slowly, in Ireland, we're slowly waking up to the fact that the country, indeed, just as you said about the discovery of the large quantity of drugs on the beaches in North Donegal, there's also been a recent seizure at the ferry port in Wexford, in Rosslare, huge amount of drugs. And as you said at the beginning, that indicates that for all that has been discovered by the Gardaí, an awful lot more is getting through.
The cumulative total for the month. The cumulative total for the month in July was 40 million.
Yes.
40 million was the cumulative total for the month of July.
And that also helps to explain why recently Ireland was mentioned as the as having the highest consumption of cocaine in Europe. So it's quite clear, and I wouldn't claim to have knowledge of this, but I would sense that criminal gangs realise that Ireland is a ready market. But the reality of all of that is that in small communities, not just the towns or the cities, but in rural communities all over Ireland and in Donegal, you know, access to cocaine has become relatively easy, and it's having a really detrimental effect on individual lives and on the quality of life in communities, especially among families.
Food for thought, certainly, and a huge concern. You are looking for volunteer nighttime supervisors at White Oaks. Talk to us about that need and what those volunteers would be expected to do.
Yes, since White Oaks was set up over 20 years ago, one of the really crucial elements in it has been the involvement of community, particularly people in the recovery community. White Oaks has benefited greatly from the willingness of many people who are in recovery, who've come that journey themselves and who want to give back. People in recovery will tell you that one of the cornerstones of their recovery is the willingness to be able to help others. It's step 12 of the 12 steps. And so what we're looking for specifically at the moment would be people who are able to come in and provide kind of supervisory cover at night. They come in and they stay, they sleep overnight. And it's simply to be that kind of supervisory person who will be of assistance to the people who are here in treatment. Now, it's overnight, so people are obviously, you know, in their beds and that. But it's to be there at night and first thing in the morning. So it has a role in terms of just helping to supervise people and other sort of practical things like locking doors and things like that. But the other bit of it is which is really important, is that relationship that because people the people who would be supervisors understand the journey of recovery, the challenges that are involved. For people who are here in treatment, to hear that firsthand, to have that kind of contact with other people who know what they're going through, who understand the difficulties, is crucially important. And I've often heard it from people who are in treatment, how much they appreciated the fact that they were able to have a conversation with someone just in a casual way overnight or you know, a cup of tea late at night, just to simply hear what's involved and to be, in a sense, reassured that recovery is possible. You know, we can talk all the theory we want, but what makes much more impact is when you see recovery evidenced in the life of another person.
And is that willingness to be a friend more important than, say, a qualification or a knowledge of addiction or anything like that?
In some respects, you know, I don't think it's an either or, but for anyone who might consider doing this, we're certainly not asking for people who have, you know, a high standard of qualification in terms of the academics. If they have a background or a knowledge, that certainly is always useful. What's principally important, I suppose, is, yes, the ability, someone who is in good, long-term, stable recovery and who's got the capacity to be able just simply to be here, to be available if need be. It's not that they have to be engaged in counselling. We're not looking for counsellors because the counselling aspect of the programme happens during the day, largely speaking.
And how can people get in touch with you, Stephen, if they want to, if they're in a position to help?
If they get in touch with us, either contacting us at our email at info@whiteoakcentre.com, or simply ring our number which is 074-938-4400. Contact us in any way that they want. What we generally do, we meet with people. There is an element of training, because there's responsibility with the role as well, and it's important that anyone who takes it on is aware of the responsibility involved. But no one, when anyone takes on this role, they're not left entirely on their own.
Stephen, I'm very sorry to cut across you. I'm afraid time has beaten us. I'll repeat those contact details later. And Stephen, thanks indeed very much for speaking to us today. We hope you'll get a good response. I'll repeat the contact details afterwards. But right now we have to go for a break. News and obituaries with Donna Marie are next.